We'll take our Bibles this morning and go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. See, of course, the title or the theme for the conference is Let the Whole World Know. And God has called us to do just that. But God has not, however, called us to do it by ourselves. In fact, you will not get anything accomplished with the gospel without God. You will not get anywhere. The Holy Spirit absolutely needs to be present when someone gets saved. In fact, that is how they get saved. That's how you got saved. And needs to be present when you're sharing the gospel. You can give the information. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's it. And when we get that, and that's definitely helped me, when we get that, it makes it a lot easier to share the gospel. Because it can be a difficult thing to share the gospel. It's confrontational. Most people, I don't love being confrontational. I like to just have relationships, and that's fine. But when it comes to the gospel, you have to be bold, and you cannot compromise, because then you don't get saved, and that's sad, and people get led astray. But in Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherein to have called them. Verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed, he laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departing unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Hey Lord, we do thank you for today. We pray, Lord, you bless the service this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have a baptism. That's such an encouragement and a blessing. We pray for their family. And Lord, and we just pray, we just continue to pray for this conference, Lord, that you would bless it and that you would do a work like only you can. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Acts, I guess in verse 1, you could ultimately say they had a church service. They were worshiping. So you could maybe classify it as a conference like this. They were maybe having a missionary conference. But then in verse 2 it says, so they're ministering and there's all these people there. And then it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So it wasn't the pastor, whoever was doing the service that day. It wasn't, well, Paul is one of the men being called here. So it wasn't him doing it. It wasn't Peter. They were just all there. The disciples were there. They were just worshiping God in a service. And the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. This morning, it could happen to a young child. If they're born again, it could be 8 years old. It happened to my wife when she was 8 years old. She knew she was going to be a missionary. She just had a verse, and God called her. But she didn't know where or what for years. And she had her own little, speculations, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. She had a burden. And we ought to have a burden. If she hadn't done that, it probably would have been quenched, and she probably would have been out of God's will. But finally, as God's will was being formed in her life, and she got a husband, and she was to follow her husband, and that was going to be me, and then we were going to be called to this country, everything came together. But her call was already on her life at the age of 8 years old. And so that could happen here today. And you may not know what that means. An adult, I didn't know what it meant in 2019. I didn't know what it meant in 2020. I still don't completely know what it means, because I have some goals, and they may change as we get to the field. They may very well change. In fact, they might, because my goal would be to get it done quickly, as I like to get things done. But it could take a while. It could take a while. And that might get, discouraging. There might be some other things that come up that the Lord wants me to do. I know we will be serving in that church. So there might be an opportunity that we, that we might be doing there. And so God will bless the service that he's called us to do. And it's God's work anyway. But you will know if God, if exactly what's happening here, And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." I would venture to say that your path, if that happens to an individual in this church, that individual will know it. You will. It'll be evident in your life, and your pastor will know it. He will. Two reasons. One, your pastor will see it, and two, you will confess it. If you're obedient to that call, you'll confess it. And together with your church, you and your church together are going to then have this call on your life. See, it is my church that's behind us. My church is 100% behind us. They've seen the call. My pastor has been behind us. Our church family is behind us. We see what's happening. And it's not me. Trust me, I didn't know a whole lot about this country before this. I knew it was there. I didn't even know the population, which I've learned since then, which is staggering. I always loved the country of Mexico. I'm a huge fan of Mexico. As far as I'm concerned, that's where I'd end up. You know, especially for my retirement, I'd be somewhere in the south, maybe Puerto Vallarta or Cancun. Probably not Cancun. I don't like Cancun. I like Puerto Vallarta. That's a nice place. That's probably where I'd end up for my retirement. I loved it. That, in the back of my mind, that's kind of my goal. But no, God called me here. So, and I know it. And I know it's not me. It's God. But it's the Holy Ghost that separates people into different works. And he's the one that helps you, and he's the one that equips you, and he's the one that directs you, and he's the one that's going to help us through this schooling that we're doing. We're doing, even right now, we're doing Hebrew. And it's not easy, definitely not easy, but it is, because God helps you. And so you're definitely struggling through different things, but at the end, you always accomplish what needs to be accomplished. But Paul and Barnabas, as they traveled, as they left this place, they went through some hard times. But people got saved, but they went through some hard times. Now, the thing is, God needs to know, and we learned this Friday night, God needs to know that he has your heart. God needs to know that he has your heart. Because that's when he can know that he can count on you to go to a place that's going to be rough. And he may not send you to such a place, but he knows he can. You see, we also don't understand God's plan and purpose 100% either, because William Carey, for example, he went to the country of India in the late 1700s, and he had no idea, you know, what to expect. First of all, it took him 6 months to get there, got on a ship, went south, then went to Brazil to catch the east winds, and I don't know the exact methods of whatever, the weather that they needed, but then they went past Africa and then north into to the Myanmar, to the Bengal of, I can't remember the name of it, anyway, Bay of Bengal, there you go. Anyway, so that's where they sailed into. It took them 6 months, and that was typical of those days. Today, we can get there in 18 hours, which even I don't like that, man. But seriously, like they, it was difficult for them, but they did it. They did it. And when he got there, it took him 7 years before he had one convert. And he labored. And it was hard for him. His wife got sick. His kids got sick. He got sick. They struggled. They were introduced to a whole new country with whole new problems. And they were just laboring through it. Finally, he had one convert. By the end of his ministry, he had baptized 600 people. So you imagine that. So God did do a work. But here's the thing. So he was working with the manuscripts, and he was he got a printing press, and he had the manuscripts that he worked to get to make and all that. And it took years. I don't remember the exact years. It took a long time. When it was all done, he was at home getting some details ready. They were working to literally get to printing. They were going to start printing the Bible in that language. And the printing press lit on fire and burnt everything. And the guys that were fighting that fire, they were fighting this fire, and it took them hours. And finally, it was out. And then it reunited, ignited. And so they had saved some of the stuff. And they thought the fire was out, and something happened where a wind came. Now, who's in control of the wind here? God is in control. And the wind came, And all the labor for the last few hours of killing the fire came back and it was done. There was not a single thing left. The manuscripts, the printing press, the material that cost money, everything was gone. 100% everything. Now, who's in control of that? Did that have to happen? It did not have to happen. God, in fact, the guys were able to save some of the stuff, some of the manuscripts specifically, but then it went gone anyway. God was in control of the wind. God was in control. Why did God allow that to happen? Why? He labored all those years, and now all these people are going to have a Bible, and God allowed that to happen. See, God is in control. The Holy Spirit is going to call people to do a work. The Holy Spirit is going to prepare people's hearts for the gospel. The Holy Spirit is going to go before you. You're going to pray. He is your partner, and you're going to do what you need to do. But it is God's work. It is not your possession. It is God's, and He can do whatever He wants. We're going to go to a verse here. Acts chapter 12. In verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Okay? So Peter and James were very good friends for all their ministry years, walking with Jesus. They did everything together. They were both in God's will, as far as you can find in the Bible. There was no sin in Peter's life. There was no sin in James' life. They were just, in the book of Acts here, they're just trying to, you know, chapter 1, Peter's preaching the gospel, meaning get saved. And James is there. They're just serving the Lord, okay? There's nothing wrong with their lifestyle here. They're just doing what God wants them to do. Herod comes in, kills James. James is dead now. They take Peter, they imprison him. Because a feast is coming up, I believe it's Easter, and they're going to take care of Peter after. They're definitely killing Peter, especially when it says in verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So he's most definitely killing Peter, 100%. Because everyone's happy that they killed James. So not only, now he has a couple motives to kill Peter, because he's able to make people happy. And apparently our governments love making people happy, or at least some people. And it's no different there. And so in verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Okay? And he is kept in an innermost prison. He is not going anywhere. But people are praying. He's praying. Then angels come and release him. Who's in control of all this? Could God not have saved James? Why not? Could James not have been very effective and been a huge asset to Peter and others and gone different places, and many, many souls would have heard the gospel because of James? God was in control. They did not have to kill James. God could have saved him. But James was killed that day. Peter was taken. He was in prison. There was absolutely no way he was escaping. And the angels came. He was released. He left. He goes to the house where prayer is being made. And there he is. Well, guess who's at the house? There's a bunch of people there. James's family is there. Isn't that sad? Peter shows up at the house, but James doesn't show up at the house because James is dead. So why? God is in control. God is in control of your life and your death. God is in control of every person's life in this world. God is in control. We don't question God. All things work together for good to them that love Him according to His purpose. See, we're dealing with sinners in this world. And God wants all men to be saved, but not all men will be saved. But God has called us to go and share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will prepare hearts, and all you need to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have a relationship with God. You need to know what God wants you to do. That's between you and Him, and then move on to the next person so that God can actually use you. And when you're ready, God will be able to use you anywhere. And then he will call you wherever he wants. And wherever he does call you, you're going to be impressed with that place. It won't matter how bad it is or where it is. You're going to be impressed with it. You're going to be impressed with the geography. You're going to be impressed with the people. You're going to love it. You will. There's a complete change taking place in our lives going to this country. And yet, I'm quite excited. The missionary family that's there has quite the similar testimony to me as far as his call to there. And I did not know this family until this year. I met them there. And they just love it there. These are southern people. They're from Georgia. They don't belong there as far as that's concerned. And yet they love it there. They love it. Even his Hindi accent is Georgian. Like, it's hilarious. But they love it there. And they're doing a wonderful work. And people are being saved, and the people love them there, the church. It's amazing. How did he get there? Same way that we will. He had a verse, God called him, and then he went. It's evident today, they've been there 5 years, it's very evident that God is doing a work through them, so they need to be there. You see, we need to trust God in whatever we do. We need to be very diligent in our lives. Obviously, William Carey did not light that on fire and wanted that gone. He wanted it to be saved. The man wept when he showed up at that site, when he saw all the work that had been done. But you know what he did next? He wept. He stood around. And then he said, we need to get to work. While the surrounding communities, they thought that they were getting ready to leave because there was no point for them to stay. Well, they went back to work. They rebuilt. He began working with his papers again, his manuscripts, and he got it all done. In the end, they went right back to square one. Everything was completed. Well, the testimony of them staying caused the people just to wonder greatly, and by the end of that, 600 people he personally baptized. Well, the first 8 years were, there was no fruit, there was no evidence, there was just nothing. But then all of a sudden at the end, the testimony. So, and I can't tell you exactly what all took place, but obviously God had a plan, and obviously God's plan was better than his, because it still got done. Now, the question is, would you do that twice? Would you give up in the middle? We might, but I trust we won't. I trust I won't. Now, do you trust? Well, Acts 11:21, it says this. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Okay, so these people are sharing the gospel, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and got saved. Okay, so the hand of the Lord, that's the important thing here. I have a testimony here from our church. So we had the old folks' home in town. We were able to go there once a month and just have a song service and a little bit of preaching. And there was an old man. He was 97 years old. He had been in World War II, then moved to Canada, started a dairy farm, and now he was retired living in this home. And Catholic was his, I guess, religion, but he did not hold to it. But he was hard, but he would always come to the service, but he did not want to get saved. He did not believe it, and he liked the singing, and that was it. And our pastor would constantly, he would share the gospel with him. And for whatever reason, our pastor just had a great burden for this old man. And he rejected it. One day he was in tears rejecting it. And one day our pastor went and visited an old lady in the home there. She actually came to our church always. She's passed away now. But as he's leaving, this man, Ivan, is sitting there in his room and he's just sad. So pastor goes in there and he talks to him. Well, that day he got saved. That day our pastor was able to share the gospel again and he said, I want to get saved. Well, 13 days later, he passed away. At 98 years old, he finally received the gospel and he finally got saved. This man survived World War II. What an incredible testimony. What an incredible testimony at that age. Can you, 13 days later, St. the Clausens in Mexico, the same similar situation. The man came to his church, he got sick. The pastor goes and visits him. Turns out he's not even saved. He got saved that night. He passed away. It is vitally important that we share the gospel with people. Are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Who do we need to share the gospel with? Around people that we have access to today, right now. But then, of course, where do we need to go? Or where does God want us to go? And it may not be anywhere for specific people, but for a specific person here. Who is the Holy Spirit asking to go somewhere? Do we trust God that he can call you? Do we trust God that he can call you? See, it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is God who is going to perform a work in you. He will prepare you. He will have you do whatever he wants if you are willing. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? In Romans chapter 10, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. We'll read verse 14. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? God will send you. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God, I know, is looking for people to do his service. Just like in the book of Acts, he called out Barnabas and Saul. In our church, he called out me, and he has since called out multiple men and women. God is doing the work. God is doing the work all over the place. There's missionaries being sent out all over, but there's not a lot of missionaries being sent out. When you actually compare to the amount of pastors who might retire in the next 10 or so years, the replacement for these pastors is not there. Not in every case, anyway. I can't imagine that it's God's will for 10% of the churches in Canada to shut their doors in the next 10 years. I can't imagine that's his will. I just cannot. So where is the pastor that needs to be replaced? And where is the pastor that needs to open a new church down in the next town? We have been praying for a town just over our in Medicine Hat. But we believe we have a man now. But it took years of prayer. Our pastor has been wanting to do this for years and for years. And nothing and nothing. But he prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, here's a man. It is God's will. Are we praying? Are we praying that God will send laborers into our harvest? That there will be pastors and teachers and Bible translators? Are we praying? Because if we're not, we will not be sent. And if we're not, there will not be one sent, at least not because of you, there won't be. So we need to be praying. We need to be praying that God will raise up laborers for his harvest. He has commanded us to pray, and he has given us a promise that if we pray according to his will, he will send forth laborers. He will. So can you imagine what would happen to your faith if you prayed and that happened? And then you prayed again and it happened and again. And because of burdens that the Lord laid on your heart in this town and that country, and then you're able to send missionaries to that country, and you're able to be a part of a work there, a Bible translation there, and you're able to send John and Romans to that country. And because you're praying, because a burden is placed in your heart. Our church went to El Paso a few weeks ago to the Bearing Precious Seed ministry there, and they did a bunch of John and Roman distribution in Juarez, Mexico, as well as in some of the native communities around El Paso. Well, they came back, and there was a man and a couple men of that trip and our pastor as well. They had a burden to send a whole bunch of John and Romans to South Korea. Well, that is being pursued right now. And our pastor is in contact with a missionary there, and this is all starting to happen. So, are we praying for opportunities? Are we praying for laborers? Are we praying for souls to be saved? Are we praying for churches to be established? And are we taking opportunities if they come up? See, they're there. We just need to pray so that God will bring them before us. And that's what I was talking about this morning. Are we able, what a thought that we could just begin being a part of projects and getting John and Romans into countries and people that already have them. The language is there. The Bibles are there. Just get them there. All we have to do is get the Bibles, ship them, and distribute them. It's actually very easy if you think about it. We do it all the time. I mean, you know, even just when you're doing door hangers, it's simple. Invitations to church. A lot of these countries have churches. A lot of these countries have pastors. So can we get in contact with these missionaries? And can we financially do it? Because God has the means. And then can we get Bibles and John and Romans into a whole bunch of countries and get them distributed? In what way can God use you in that? There's just so much that we can pray for, and then God will open a door. And the most amazing thing about that is your faith will be increased. It is your faith that'll be increased. And you will begin to see God working, and it'll be tremendous. You have to remember something. God is a living God. We do not serve a religious God. Christian religions like Mormonism or JWs and so on, even like Catholicism, they don't serve a living God. We serve a living God. Verses in the Bible, they mean something to us. It is real to us. Salvation is real to us. Obeying Him in baptism is real to us. Witnessing is real to us. But then seeing Him work, it should be real to us. We should expect great and mighty things from God. We should. And if we don't, you need to get to a place where you can. You need to be able to expect great and mighty things from God. You have to. Just think about what happened in Joshua. God called Joshua and the people to go conquer places. Well, the people didn't really have to do a whole lot. It was God doing it. The people showed up at Jericho, but all they did is obeyed God. There was never a battle that pursued, and God took it over. What's God asking us to do? God is asking us to just be faithful. God will do the work. But then you turn over to the next book, 40 years later, and Judges, and the people are not doing what God has asked them to do, and they begin allowing sin to continue to stay. They're not getting rid of sin the way they should. They're not getting rid of the people that are the worldliness. And next thing you know, the Jewish people are not in God's will, and God has to come in and judge them simply because they did not believe God. They did not do what God asked them to do. We need to have our hearts clean. We need to have a relationship with God. And we need to just do what God asks us to do. He will do the rest. We just need to be faithful and show up, and He will do the rest. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and ye see indeed, and perceive not. But Isaiah said, Here am I will go.'" That is a place where we need to be. We just need to be ready. We just need to say, "Here am I will go." When God calls, "Here am I will go." Are we known to be prayer warriors? If there's a need, "Oh, here am I, I'll go, I'm praying for you right now." Help in the church. "Oh, here am I, I'll go right now." Whatever. And if that's where we are, that's perfect. And that may be where you stay, but it could be, if that's where you are, because that is where God is going to come to when He is looking for someone to go elsewhere. He's not going to come to a place where people are just completely rebellious against God. That's not where He's going to go and find people to go out into the world and to be missionaries. He's going to go and find people right here. You're most faithful. That's where He's going to go to. And He's going to take them. But you know what else He's going to do? He's going to replace that one. He's going to replace him. Never be concerned, "Well, I can't send so-and-so because he's a vital part of our ministry." He is a vital part of your ministry. But if he needs to go elsewhere, he'll be replaced. He's God's servant. He will be replaced. If God sees fit, that is. Acts 13, verse 47. Acts 13:47 says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Are you a light? And are you a light unto the ends of the earth? Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Are we doing what we can to let the whole world know? Are we a light unto the ends of the earth? From the rising of the sun and from the west. Let the whole world know. Everywhere. Are we doing what we can? Has God called you to be a laborer elsewhere? Or has God, if you're serving here, God has definitely called you to be here. But God has called you to be a light unto the ends of the earth. And one day, one of two things will be said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or the opposite. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for this missions conference. And we just pray that you would work in hearts like only you can. And we pray, Lord, that you would raise up laborers from here and from this country. I pray that you would be able to use this country in a great way. Lord, we've been blessed. And Lord, I do pray that we would not be, that we would not take for granted the freedom and even just the financial blessings that we've had to enjoy in this country. And I pray that we would be willing to give that up so that others could have it as well. And even just in financial giving, I pray that we would be willing to support Bible projects and mission projects that are happening in parts of the world that are in dire need with poverty as well as obviously the gospel. Lord, I pray that we would that our finances would be able to be found doing your work all over the world. Lord, what a great need. Lord, I just pray you'd bless in Jesus' name.